Good afternoon. My name is John Davidson. I'm a senior research associate at the Freshwater Institute in West Virginia. My presentation today is entitled Water Quality and Waste Production Within Intensively Operated Recirculating Aquaculture Systems, with a focus on the potential for use of nutrient-rich effluents in aquaponics and agronomics, to keep with the theme of this meeting. So I want to do three things during the presentation. I want to talk a little bit about the Freshwater Institute and what we do and who we are. Then I want to talk a little bit about the recirculating aquaculture systems that we develop and research, and how some of these other agricultural practices might be integrated with recirculating aquaculture systems. And then I'll talk a little bit about specific research that we conduct at the Freshwater Institute and how that's helping the aquaculture industry. So the Freshwater Institute, again, we're in West Virginia. We work with a parent organization called the Conservation Fund, and they are focused on land conservation. We're primarily focused on water conservation, and we develop responsible solutions for water resource management and conservation, and we combine an applied research and engineering approach to demonstrate how freshwater resources can be used to achieve both economic and environmental goals. Over the past 20 years or so, we've been focused on research, development, and engineering of commercially viable land-based aquaculture systems. And one of our primary missions is to help increase domestic seafood production using these sustainable and environmentally friendly technologies. A lot of people don't know this metric, but 90% of the seafood that we consume in the United States is imported from other countries. So we hope that we can help to change that trend and to bring more domestic aquaculture to the U.S. And with that, we'd bring safer seafood, fresher seafood, and we'd bring jobs and opportunity. We also reach out to industry a lot. We don't just do the research on site. We consult with industry. We design systems for industry. And one of the key stakeholders that we work with is called Bell Aquaculture, and I'd encourage everybody to do a web search on Bell because they're doing a lot of really neat things, and they're using the technologies that we've developed at the Freshwater Institute. I was disappointed that the one presentation canceled because he was going to talk about commercially viable recirculating aquaculture systems. But I want to go over some of the advantages that recirculating systems have to offer and some of the sustainable aspects of these systems. They minimize water use. They minimize environmental impact and pollution. They're flexible to locate near markets, so you could have the fish out of your system and on somebody's plate at a restaurant within a day or two. They provide enhanced biosecurity and disease control. They optimize the culture environment for the biology of the species that you're culturing. They prevent escapement of fish and impact on wild populations. And for purposes of this presentation and the theme that I'm going to be mainly talking about, they provide the opportunity for vertical integration of other agricultural practices. And the use everything approach, I like that term that was used earlier. So one of the opportunities for vertical integration is that recirculating aquaculture systems produce nutrient-rich flows that can feed aquaponics. This is actually a picture that I took at Epcot Center in Orlando, Florida, of an aquaponics operation that they have. It's a neat ride that you can go through called the Land, and they're growing tilapia and some other warm water species, and they take the water from their fish culture systems to feed and grow a variety of vegetables. In this picture, you can see they're growing lettuce. Another potential for vertical integration with recirculating aquaculture systems is to actually use the biosolids that are produced by the fish. With these RES systems, you can actually collect and fractionate out the solids portion of the waste. And the picture here at the top left is actually at Bell Aquaculture. And these are just some huge settling cones that help concentrate the solids that can be used then as maybe a soil amendment for crops or pastures. Bell Aquaculture actually does some other things with their dewatered solids. They do vermicomposting, and they create a neat fertilizer product that they sell as a specialty product. So there's a lot that can be done with all these waste streams that are produced in recirculating aquaculture systems, because there's a lot of control over the waste streams. So the next part of my presentation, I just want to talk a little bit about some of our research, and as I go along, I want to tie in some of these other opportunities for aquaponics and agronomics. So one of the research studies that we did at the Freshwater Institute is we compared waste and nutrient accumulation in six replicated systems that we have on site. And we looked at two different water exchange rates and how that impacted the growth of the fish and the water quality of the systems. So this is a schematic of the six replicated identical recirculating systems that we use. And there's a couple engineering metrics here, but essentially we had a tenfold difference in water flushing rate. And with this next slide, I want to demonstrate how that difference in water exchange rate changed the water quality between these two treatments. So in our systems, we have a biofilter that treats the water, and the biofilter will convert the ammonia and the nitrite over to nitrate. So what you can see here is that in the low exchange system with tenfold less dilution, we had significant accumulation of nitrate or total nitrogen. In these systems, we also have a great deal of control over the other water quality parameters. So you can see we control temperature, oxygen, alkalinity, carbon dioxide, pH, all to be equal between the two treatments, even though we had a major difference in flushing. We did see a little bit of an increase in total suspended solids to the 6.4 milligrams per liter, and with that came an increase in biochemical oxygen demand. Some other things that accumulated in the low exchange systems are some of the micronutrients that are associated with the feeds. So we saw about a tenfold difference in copper in the low exchange system, potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus. And a lot of these nutrients would be beneficial for plant growth, particularly the potassium, nitrogen, and phosphorus. So there's tremendous opportunity to use this water from the recirculating systems for plant production. You'll see we had a lot more sodium with the low exchange system, and that was because we had to control alkalinity. In a low exchange system, the biofilter will actually consume the alkalinity, so we have to supplement. And that's where the increase in sodium came from, and a slight increase in zinc. So some of the take-home messages from this particular study is that we fed the same amount of feed to both of these systems, but it was the dilution rate of the systems that really impacted the water quality that resulted in the fish culture systems. So for an aquaponics integration, there's also that control or flexibility for an aquaponics producer to be able to adjust a few things and create the water quality that they need to grow plants. And to also put this in perspective, we would only need one of these systems, which is about a 2,500-gallon system, to produce a whole greenhouse bay full of vegetables. So with that in mind, aquaponics operations are often just a standalone business where the main focus is the vegetables or the plants. The fish are mainly just there to provide the nutrients to feed the plants. From our perspective at the Freshwater Institute, that's great, but our main mission is to increase fish production and protein. So how we see aquaponics fitting into the picture is that maybe this could be vertically integrated into a large-scale fish production business, and it can create another revenue stream for that business. In large-scale fish production, there's often a long lag time before cash comes back in the door because you're waiting for those fish to reach harvest size. So if you integrated aquaponics into an operation like that, you could have another revenue stream that came back to your business much sooner than just waiting for the fish. So I want to talk real quickly about some of the aquaculture outcomes that we found from this research. Even though we had these two different water exchange rates, the fish still grew equally well. So that information told us that the water quality, even though it was more concentrated in the low exchange systems, it was still suitable for the fish. So our engineers take that information, and they can look at those metrics, and they can say, we're going to set these maximum concentrations of water quality, and we're going to create our design parameters around that. So we can then figure out how much water to exchange, what our flow rates are, and the size of the system, et cetera. So real quickly, I want to talk about another area of research that we do, and that's looking at different feed types and different ingredient profiles of feed that we use in our recirculating aquaculture systems. So we conducted studies using the same six replicated systems, and we looked at some traditional fish meal based diets versus diets that had absolutely no fish meal at all, and we replaced that fish meal with alternative ingredients. One of the ingredients that we replaced with was a nut meal byproduct, and we fed that to Atlantic salmon. And the other project, we evaluated two different feeds for rainbow trout, and the replacement protein was a soy protein concentrate and a corn protein concentrate. So really the take-home message from these experiments was that the ingredient profile of the diets can significantly change the water quality in the systems, particularly the phosphorus concentration in the water column. So we found with the nut meal, there was a lot of inherent phosphorus with that ingredient. So the fish used what they needed from that diet, but there was also a lot of waste phosphorus that ended up in the water because the fish didn't need that to grow and be healthy. In that scenario, with that excess phosphorus in the water, maybe that is an advantage for aquaponics. It would not be an advantage for a fish production facility that had to treat the water with a lot of phosphorus. So alternatively to that, we found with soy protein concentrate, the ingredient profile provided just what the fish needed in terms of phosphorus, and we didn't have a lot of waste phosphorus. The one last point I want to make with the recirculating systems is, so far I've been talking about the system overflow in terms of the nutrient-rich water that can feed aquaponics. But within the system, we actually fractionate out the solids part, and that can be used in a different application, maybe as a soil amendment, a fertilizer, a vermicompost. And we do that with different unit processes in the system, a radio flow acetylene device that is a cone, like I showed earlier, that can trap the solids, and a drum filter, which is a filtration device that creates a backwash spray that is high in solids. So the take-home messages are that the ingredient profile of diets can alter the composition of effluent streams. And it's important to understand that in RES systems, the fish waste is fractionated in the system. It creates a clean overtopping flow that can be used for aquaponics to feed plants. And it also creates other concentrated biosolids flows that can be used for other agricultural practices. This is actually a picture we've taken the solids off of one of the cones and sucked it up in what we call the honey wagon and spray that out on a pasture at the Freshwater Institute as a fertilizer. And so we had a few aquaculture outcomes from that research. There's tremendous advancement in aquafeeds and getting away from fish meal in the aquaculture industry. And we found that the growth rates, even though we've taken away all the fish meal, the Atlantic salmon and rainbow trout still grew just as well without any fish meal in the diet. We did still have the fish oil present so that we could maintain the omega-3 fatty acids, but we had no fish. I'm not sure if I said that right. We had the fish oil, but we took away the fish meal. And aquafeeds can be designed to be RAS-specific and minimize phosphorus discharge, or as I showed with the nut meal byproduct, they can be designed for aquaponics if you use the right ingredients. And that's all I've got. I'd like to thank the USDA for funding this research, and a lot of great people at the Freshwater Institute that carry out the water chemistry and the technical side of things.
Thank you. We've got time for a couple quick questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What is the aquafeed made of?
What's that?
The food. The aquafeed is made of which raw materials?
Well, what we developed, we looked at two different feeds. We looked at a traditional diet that was fish meal based, so it would have menhaden as the main source of the fish meal. The other diets, we took away the fish meal and we had a nut meal byproduct. I think it was a pistachio nut meal. And then we also had ingredients in another diet that was a soy protein concentrate and a corn protein concentrate. Yeah.
Just curious, what are your yields of fish and tons per hectare? Do the RAS or do you
even... Well, I don't have that metric.
For containment then?
Our FCRs are about 1-to-1, so fish production is one of the more efficient protein production practices out there in terms of FCR. Bell Aquaculture, who we partner with, their facility is large enough that they produce 1 to 2 million metric tons of rainbow trout. And they've just moved over to rainbow trout. I was just there and they have all their systems completely filled with trout. If I have a second to back up. This is our main demonstration system at the Freshwater Institute. It's a 40,000 gallon tank. Bell Aquaculture has, I think, at least 20 of these, and they're almost twice as big, and they're all filled with trout right now.
Okay.